welcome to the Midday Cafe Blizzard 2016 edition with your host, Mike Giannotti.
Hey, am I live, David?
You are.
You see me on the screen, right?
Yes.
All right. Hey, welcome, everybody. If you're confused about the confusion, producer Steve is snowed in because we did have a blizzard here on the East Coast, but myself as well as
intern Dave,
we did dig ourselves out, so we are here today. We're going to have Mark Cashman. We've got a great show, so we're going to be starting off in just a moment. We're going to have the Microsoft Store showing us in store the Microsoft Surface Book. We'll follow that by Mark Cashman. He's going to be talking about hybrid scenarios with SharePoint Online, SharePoint 2016, and how you bring that together, and answering your questions live. I've got a console up here, so we'll be answering them live during the session. So we're looking forward to that. I also have a couple of news stories I wanted to kick off. But before we get started, a couple of housekeeping items. First of all, today's broadcast, as always, is brought to you by Skype Broadcasting, which is what you're watching now. If you have Office 365, you have Skype Broadcasting. It's also brought to you by Skype TX, because right in back of me in a bit, we're going to be using Skype TX to bring in our remote guests. We're going to have two of them today. And as always, Azure Services and Azure Media, which underlies all this stuff to make it work and run. And without further ado, let me get on to my quick two news story. So just two things that I want to quickly highlight. First of all, over at the Office blogs, that's where these two stories are, and I'll have links to them after today's broadcast. Don't want to spend a lot of time on news because we're going to have a long session with Mark. But first of all, new to Office 365 in January, new inking tools, collaboration improvements, Office Insider builds, now available for Mac and more. So this article comes to us from Kurt Koenigsbauer, who I think we're going to have to get Kurt on the show because he's rocking. And he's got all the new stuff with new inking capabilities like draw tab, instant inking, ink to shape, converting shapes. They have some of the stuff with new collaboration capabilities, Morph and PowerPoint Designer, which is very cool if you haven't seen it yet. And then the Office Insider builds that are available for Mac. We'll have a link to that so you can check out all the details around that. Again, I don't want to spend a lot of time because we do have a long show today. Next up, this one's going to be important for a lot of those folks checking into today's broadcast for the hybrid. SharePoint Server 2016 as well as Project Server 2016 release candidates are now available. Check them out if you've been playing with the beta. You want to get the latest, the release candidate. It is out and available. I'll have links to it after our talks today and when we finish and archive this broadcast. So be on the lookout for that. We'll have all that and more. Well, before we get started, we're going to be ringing up the store here in 1 second. But Dave, how are you feeling back there?
Doing so far so good.
So for all of you who are on here, Susan McCabe says, how do I get audio? Susan, are you not here? Is there anybody else not hearing us? So let me do this. Anyone else not have audio? Let's make sure we got this rolling. So we're going to click broadcast. And I'm going to shoot over here. We should have all that. Call controls here, devices. That's all good. Let's see if anybody else is having any issues. So we've got the mic, Wi-Fi present. Oh, if we try changing anything, we've got problemo. Yes. Sounds fine to me. Okay, good. It's just Susan. Thank you. You had me panicking, Susan. I got, who said that? Somebody, they didn't tell me who they are. Dean says, okay, great, folks. Thank you very much. So, Susan, if you don't have audio, check your speakers. Make sure you're on. You're not on mute. It's simply coming through as a streaming media over the internet. Without further ado, though, we are at 12:05, and I want to get things rocking and rolling. Glad to hear everybody's there. You're obviously seeing the panel down below. If you have questions at any time, even just want to have a shout out, post it down there. We'll be monitoring and answering in real time. Let's go ahead, though, David, and let's log in the Microsoft Store. You want to dial them in?
It looks like it's going to be there.
It's one click.
Yep.
And I hear him.
Here we are.
Hello.
How are you?
Very good. And David, do we have video?
I have video.
He has video. So wait a minute. There you are. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Can you hear us okay?
I hear you perfectly. So why don't we go ahead and can you introduce yourselves and let us know what we have going on here from the store?
Yeah. So hi, welcome to the Microsoft Store King of Prussia, which is right behind me. I'm trying to see that I actually can do this. I am Toby Toronto. I am the store manager here at the King of Prussia store. And I'm gonna introduce you to one of our very knowledgeable and impressive young gentlemen, Raphael Ozica, who's going to do a demo for us today.
Raphael's gonna be on the demo.
Yeah.
Awesome. So
go ahead.
No, you go ahead. So what do you got for us?
So, you know, I was on your show 2 weeks ago and I said we would demo from the store and we want to show you Microsoft's first portable laptop computer, which is the Surface Book, which we have here in stock, ready for you to play around with. So follow me, and we're gonna show you. You see that okay, Mike?
How's that coming across, David?
Coming across good.
Perfect.
So there is our Surface Book, which is 3.5 pounds. A very strong computer, both for personal computing as well as business computing. What's amazing about the Surface Book is it actually comes in 3 configurations. So we're gonna put this one down and we're gonna show you, we have it set up here for you. We have the laptop. We also have it in clipboard mode, which is really amazing because now it becomes a tablet. And the tablet is by itself is 1.5 pounds. So you can see that the keyboard itself is 2 pounds, but pretty amazing. And the third mode that it comes in is what we would call our canvas mode. But to get it in canvas mode, and we're gonna tip it down just a little bit. Ready?
I'm ready.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Pretty cool, right?
Yeah, so this thing does 3 modes.
So it's basically 3 computers in one.
And this is a no-compromise performance device in addition to all those cool touch capabilities and tablet functionality.
Absolutely. And just some things that you can look at right on the Surface Book would be OneNote as part of Office 365. And Raphael just double-clicked the pen, the Surface Pen, so double-clicked the eraser right on the pen and it launches OneNote.
That's very useful because I live in OneNote.
Absolutely, and it works really well in the clipboard mode. What he's demonstrating right now is the versatility of the pen, which you can buy additional pen tips for to allow you to sketch, draw, illustrate, and draft.
Very cool.
So, as he's doing some inking, we also wanted to show you one another amazing feature of Windows 10, which would be the web browser in Microsoft Edge. And with Microsoft Edge, you can launch any web page.
Okay.
And by just simply clicking the inking button, you can now mark up a web page and send it to anybody through email.
Wait a minute. You're marking up a web page live, using
web page.
The inking with the Surface Book through the Edge browser.
Absolutely. And this right now, we can now send it to somebody via mail, through text messaging, or again, save it to our OneNote.
You know, that's, Toby, for folks who need to do research and they're, you know, obviously doing things out on the web and need to share with colleagues. That's pretty powerful, and I love how it works right in the Surface Book itself. It makes it very, very useful.
Absolutely. And we welcome you and all your viewers to come on in and test this out for yourself. There's hands-on demos that you can do, and we can have team members just like Raphael show you and let you experience it for yourself.
Very cool. You know, one of the things, and this is stuff that you don't have to do it now, but you know, some of the things that I thought were really cool when we were in your store last at the King of Prussia Mall. King of Prussia Mall, and there's Microsoft stores all over as well for our viewers all scattered around four corners. Was you had the one demo that people were able to do. They could go, and they actually had the whole Windows Hello where they could just walk up, and it had a whole scenario where it tracked them and allowed them to log in using their face. Anybody there.
Absolutely. So we're going to see if we can get that up for you, but while we do, I do want to share with you just what's going on in the mall store. So this week we have some free workshops going on Surface Book, on Surface Pro 4, and also on Office 365.
So wait a minute. So you have workshops specifically for the Surface Book and the Surface Pro?
Absolutely. It's about a demonstration, a quick demonstration for you to answer questions. Get your questions answered and get an overview of the product, but most importantly, to be able to come in and touch it and feel it and test it out. It's perfect.
Cool.
So Raphael just got up the demo of Windows Hello, so if you have just another minute, we'll show that to you. So come on over here.
Absolutely.
All right, there we go. Got it? Move closer, Meg. Okay, so we just have to put in the demo here.
You type in the name of the owner of the computer, and then the person steps right inside of the camera angle and steps right there until the actual application takes a very good look at their face. And once it's done, we just hit try it. And directly as soon as she goes ahead and steps in front of the computer, you'll see as she steps in front of the computer, it'll say, "Hello, Toby," and it'll log her in right there.
That is cool. So what we're actually doing with the demo that's built in, it's using the real functionality, but it captures what normally you do for the setup. The demo itself does it, captures their face, logs out, logs them in, and then once they're done, they don't have to worry about it keeping their identity, do they?
Absolutely. So please come in and try that and come and see it. Again, great feature of Windows 10 where you don't have to remember your password anymore. It just recognizes you.
I love that Windows Hello. Now, you mentioned you had the workshops this week. We've got them for, and we'll have links for those of you watching. You're going to have them for the Surface Book, for the Surface Pro. What was the third one?
So we have a workshop happening this week on PowerPoint as part of Office 365. So we periodically will showcase Office 365. And since we're going to be coming to you monthly, I did want to just put out to continue to look at our website, because in February, we have some online security workshops that we'll be doing.
Nice.
As well as Entrepreneur Week in the middle of February.
So that's all, again, for our viewers. You know, if you're interested in hands-on workshops, check out, we'll have the link when we post up this archive again, but there's all kinds of stuff in your local Microsoft store. Certainly, if you're here in this area in Pennsylvania, King of Prussia Mall's got them going on all the time. And then your local stores as well if you're in other areas of the country.
Exactly. One last thing that I did want to share that happened before our snowstorm here was we launched a new pen. So I'm going to just show you on a display here that we have. So the pen that we just showed that did the inking now comes in four colors. Silver, blue, black, and now gold.
Gold. I like that.
This pen will work with previous Surface models, starting with the Surface Pro 3, the Surface 3, as well as the Surface Pro 4 and the Surface Book.
Wow, so all across the board. You know, they do have, James Bond had the man with the golden gun, but now we have the person with the golden pen.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I like it.
So once again, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
And please come and visit us once again here at the Microsoft Store King of Prussia.
Thank you. So Toby, have a great day and we'll check you out next time.
Bye everybody.
Have a great one. All right. So let's go ahead and hang up there. And David, I believe it's now. So since we've done that, let's go ahead and let's dial in Mr. Mark Cashman for our hybrid SharePoint Online.
Good morning.
Oh, hey there, Mr. Mark.
How are you, Mr. Gennady?
I'm doing very good. And one second, Mark. David, don't forget, make this so that we'll be able to go to the screen. You see it?
I see that one, yes.
All right. So just so you know, Mark, we have our normal producer. I don't know if you heard, we had a little bit of a snow episode here.
I did. I saw, I think my favorite thing that I saw that was sort of trending online was somebody with a hoverboard going back and forth with their snow shovel.
That is just funny.
It was awesome. hopefully you guys are not buried. I see that the lines of communication are open, but everybody's okay?
We're all okay, but our normal producer, he actually is out of Delaware, and he comes up, and they have not, a lot of the side roads have not been plowed yet, and he is still socked in. So we have a stand-in, but everything's been rocking, so we're all good and ready to go. So what have you got for us today, Mark?
Well, last time that we talked, we were talking a little bit about all the things you can do with sites and portals inside the intranet.
Yep.
And to bridge that gap as far as looking at if you're using lots of stuff online, if maybe you're fully still deployed on premises, the concepts that we have and a lot of the technology that we're building into both the online service and within the product, SharePoint on premises, is the concept of being able to go on a hybrid journey. And that means sometimes moving some workloads to the cloud in Office 365 or even some things in Azure.
Yep.
But it also means bringing the cloud down to customers that are running still and maybe significantly on premises. And a lot of things that we're doing are actually writing real code to support real scenarios that support hybrid for not just a short term, but probably for a little bit of a long term.
Yeah, and I know that's really important to customers. A lot of them, they have such an investment on-prem and so many things that they can't yet move up, providing that kind of that hybrid story and being able to even potentially bring content, having it starting to surface in stuff like Delve and others, that becomes a big deal for them.
Yeah, and so, you know, moving into a hybrid model sometimes is, hey, there's a lot of innovation in the cloud. I'm not ready to move wholeheartedly to it. Yep. That could be a budget thing. It could be a timing thing. Could just be a reality of some of the sensitive data that they don't want to move to the cloud, and that's a decision point that we take very seriously.
Yep.
But then to start looking at some of the new workloads and capabilities like Delve, video, even just search, being able to search across wherever you have content, wherever you have information, sites, people, wherever people are working, if some of that starts to become cloud by preference of either the workload or sometimes the management aspects, taking some of that burden off of the on-premises management, yeah. It shouldn't be a loss of capability. It should only be additive. And again, hopefully by end of today, everybody will see a lot of the investments we're making, some of the realities of what you can do. And I am, like you, Mike, actually living proof. We live in a hybrid world.
Yes,
Microsoft has been hybrid for a number of years. So a lot of the scenarios are kind of my reality day to day, and they don't hinder me. They only accelerate what I need to do.
Very cool. So just so people know, as we're going to jump into Mark's presentation, if you have questions or anything, again, down below the video here, and I already had a number of you write into me this morning around as we did audio checks and stuff, so thank you, so you're aware. But down below here, you'll see there is the Skype Q&A capability where you can tee something up. You can include your name or not. It's completely up to you. I'll see them here. David will see them there. We'll tee those questions up during and then after as well. If you have questions, though, during as Mark's talking, we'll wait till logical breakpoints to talk. So you let me know when you're ready, Mark, and we'll switch on over to your presentation.
That's good. I'm ready to roll. I hopefully everybody out there is ready as well. And just a very quick introduction, what we're talking about is SharePoint Online and SharePoint on-premises. A lot of what I'll cover is talking about SharePoint 2016 and some of the new capabilities. But I'll also highlight where it also has either already existed in SharePoint 2013 with Service Pack 1 when we started to make our first initial hybrid investments, but also what we're backporting. And some of that isn't yet available, but it's coming in the 2016 timeframe. But my name is Mark Cashman, and I'm a senior product manager on SharePoint Online is primarily my main focus. And I've got a number of peers, one that you might know pretty well, Bill Baer, who focuses on SharePoint on-premises. And we sort of share the workload in between of hybrid. And of course, it's something that we're making real investments in, so we want to make sure that everybody sees what we're doing. And if there's questions, we're able to address those and hopefully take away some of the perception questions that people might have. And the realities of it is also we've got a really great new site that I'll link and maybe even say out loud here, and Mike can make some video magic happen. But we have a new site called hybrid.office.com. where it's got a lot of great hybrid resources. Some of it's just high level, like what you'll hear today, that is more scenarios and what's possible, all the way down to new documentation and even more coming when we get closer to the release of SharePoint 2016.
And Mark, I don't know, we're getting a little bit of static, but if you could, on your video end, you could shut off the video piece and just have the audio, I think, because now we've got the, I'll ask you to pull it back up when we do Q&A at the end.
Okay. Is that any better? I just shut off video.
About this, it's not too bad. It's good. So why don't we go ahead and you tell me when and I'll advance through.
Yeah. So moving to the first line, really is just to paint a picture for where we'll take the conversation for the most part. We look at this as making the high bridge, where if you're taking everything in blue from on-premises, which is, you know, SharePoint as you know it, or if you're, you know, coming up to speed on SharePoint, this is as if you were to install SharePoint on-premises. That's the blue. And of course, in that same environment, we would expect, email server, potentially Exchange, and something for communications like Link or Skype for Business is what we call it now. As you move to the top of this graphic, that really represents what's in Office 365. Could also be a scenario where you're hosting some of these workloads in Azure if you're running virtual machines. But the concept here is to be able to not only have the same capabilities both on-premises and online, but to then also be able to connect and make sure that some of these workloads are talking to each other in a way that we're either being able to crawl content from a search perspective from on-premises to online and vice versa, or even maybe enabling new workloads that run solely in the cloud but have a direct connection to the experience of your on-premises environment, as if you were going from a HR portal that's still running on SharePoint 2010 or 2013, and you move into something like the new Delve experience, which is running holistically in the cloud, but making that connection and, of course, having the content that then Delve serves up being a mixture of on-premises and online. So there's a lot of different deployment options and choices, and we support everything. You certainly can move everything to the cloud. You may have started in the cloud. You may be only on-premises, and you start to think about hybrid, it really can be that bridge to start to experience and have some of those new capabilities to accelerate productivity capabilities. Or it's just awareness as you start to move some things like OneDrive for Business or Team Sites and other to the cloud when you search or make a connection to people or content, that content can still include things that are on-premises, things that may be moving in 6 months, things that may never move. And that we support all that in between. But if you sort of keep this graphic in your mind, I'll refer back to on-prem and online a number of different times, and hopefully this gives you a sense that SharePoint is everywhere, and as you start to decide where you want to use it, based on the capabilities that you'd like, based on some of the management choices that you're making in terms of managing less on-premises and moving to more task-oriented administration so that you're supporting more of the business than standing up servers, there's that element. There's also the extensibility model where developers can now develop a lot of the same level of solutions that they did on-premises with some new patterns and some new capabilities that enable you to build as rich solutions as you built on-premises, but now today having those run in the cloud, which could increase scale, it could also increase reliability, and some of it just around flexibility of how you deploy and the lifecycle management of that solution. So with that context, as we move into then what I think is another important area for hybrid, it's a little bit more from a developer slant, but with the next slide you'll see as we talk about this intelligent fabric, and Mike, you can click through just a few things here. The very last build will be three, a number of different icons. There you go. But if you look at the different layers that we have, the infrastructure certainly could be a split deployment where you have hybrid or SharePoint on-premises, SharePoint online. That is a majority of what we're talking about today. And if you start looking at all the key workloads, both on-prem and online, you could start to think about managing some of these workloads and having them in the cloud. And one example, if you move either OneDrive for Business or something, a workload like Team Sites, that could be something that could enable a lot of new scenarios where think about getting to a team site when you're traveling, having to VPN and then get to the site and content and working with it can be a little bit more of a hurdle. Whereas if your team sites are in the cloud, by default, they're extremely encrypted and protected, but they're available to the internet through a secure connection, but without having to VPN. And of course, with OneDrive for Business, just having more storage available to your end users and having that be something that's more accessible to you when you're traveling, so you can sync your content with you, you can access them through your mobile apps, a lot easier to do when that workload's in the cloud. But the real glue here, which is I think the intelligent fabric, is when we start to introduce a capability that we call the Microsoft Graph. Previously, you might have known of this as the Office Graph. And really, this is an intelligence layer on top of our search index. And when we start to talk about a hybrid connection or a hybrid deployment, one of the first big workloads is making a hybrid search connection. Then if you start to layer this intelligence of the Office Graph, what that adds is the intelligence of I now know where my content is, and I now know what the content is. What the intelligence of the Microsoft Graph adds is the relevancy of that content and the relevancy of people interacting with that content. So that if I have a nice index of all of my content, no matter where it lives, it could be on-premises file shares that are being crawled by SharePoint, it could be OneDrive for Business documents that are running in Office 365, and of course a mixture of all of that, which is what hybrid search is. When I start to tune that with the relevancy of that content, it means that when I come across and discover new content or discover new people, it has the holistic view of everything that is in my environment, and especially if it's a hybrid deployment, that really is everything. And then it gives me a view on what's most relevant to me based on who I work with, the content that I'm most active on and sharing, modifying, viewing. And then with this intelligence layer, it's being able to show me that content in a very proactive way, hopefully cutting down on times of me searching for content, but also now me discovering new content and ultimately discovering new people. And there's a virtuous cycle to that that we see as being very beneficial. And some of the feedback we're getting off of the Office Graph is that as we tune that and we make those connections to more and more content and more actions or signals, that becomes a layer that you can really use across sites. You can use that across portals, and some of the richer integration like hybrid search that bubbles it up through Delve really gives you a lot of new and interesting scenarios that we think will make your productivity a lot more focused and, of course, a lot more time-saving. So moving to the next, just to cover some broader scenarios, when we talk about the various scenarios, the ones on the left is really the ones that we think of from a custom navigation element. If you've seen the app launcher in Office 365, there's a lot of tiles with a lot of workloads like email, calendar, sites, OneDrive for Business. A lot of those, if you go to just Office 365, of course, light up and you have all those capabilities in Office 365. But as you start to deploy SharePoint 2013 or what's coming in SharePoint 2016, you will get this automated app launcher experience where you may start with most of your content on-premises. And think through one scenario where we're moving from SharePoint 2013 upgrading to 2016. By default, your content will all still be on-premises if you have no online workloads. But as you start to make some connections, if you do invest in Office 365 and you're either moving content, let's say you're moving team sites, you're moving some portals, and you start to take advantage of things like OneDrive for Business in the cloud, moving from My Documents on-premises, and if you start to light up some new workloads like Delve, Office 365 Video, and even moving some of the things that aren't SharePoint related like email, that app launcher becomes your first real vision into your hybrid environment. It really paints a picture that as you click and navigate to some of the glue work that we're working on and is ships in the on-premises version is that intelligence to get you from one workload to the other, be it a team site on-premises, click into Delve, which is running in the cloud, and having that be a seamless experience inside the same browser window, not popping up tabs and not asking you for your credentials, but really navigating you through, and to be able to get back as well is super important. When it gets to specifically portals and team sites, the element of having either a common navigation, a lot easier, or if you start to follow team sites that are running on premises and you follow team sites running in online, your sites page, which is found under the sites tile, becomes a collection of sites from everywhere. And so we have that ability to have a hybrid bookmarking, the way to get back to your sites, and of course to navigate in between in a seamless way. Of course, there's patterns that you can follow if you're bridging some of these gaps with solutions. Pulling in content from on-premises and online into the same solution is very possible. We've got new patterns that we put out there in our patterns and practices that talk about how to build those solutions, whether you're just doing some simple configuration or actually doing full page solutions. Very possible to pull content in and have that be a good experience for the end user. One of the things we've always had in online is a nice extranet external sharing capabilities. But if you start to bridge that with actually some of our on-premises Active Directory, where you have maybe a collection of external users already in your Active Directory forest, being able to apply those to online is something that we're investing in. It's not yet available, but it certainly is something that's coming where you can more easily set up external sharing or maybe even closer to true extranet scenarios in online, but really supported from the security of your Active Directory on-premises. And then finally, a thing that we've been talking about a lot since Ignite and really making investments in 2016 first are the ability to have a unified compliance environment. We unified the ability between Exchange and SharePoint, whether you're on-prem or online, now making that connection that if you've got a split deployment, and that can be across Exchange and SharePoint and now Skype for Business, to have it be a unified environment that you go and run an e-discovery of content that's whether it's email running in the cloud, documents running in SharePoint on-premises, and link conversations on-premises, being able to unify that and do a broad e-discovery or audit search from the same unified administration panel, that's something that we support and will continue to invest in soon in the 2016 wave. That also applies to data loss prevention, and it also applies to what we're doing with mobile device management. Think about wherever your content is, as secure as we make it and as secure as policies that you write against it can apply now more holistically than something that maybe takes a number of different steps. So hopefully these couple of slides give you a bit of a sense of the broader landscape of hybrid. And I've got one slide next just to kind of give you a sense of customers that are already investing in hybrid and what they're saying. And the quick run from kind of top left, and I'll go counterclockwise, is really a lot of people see as you start to invest more in Office 365, it takes off a lot of that management time and burden in terms of upkeep, patching, uptime, backup and restore, and moving to Office 365, certainly that is the investment that we make, and that's the promise we have with our service level agreement. Moving down to the bottom left, if you look at what they're looking at, what they're talking about in terms of a seamless way to integrate, the investments that we're making make it a lot easier to make the hybrid connection. If you had tried a hybrid connection, which was possible the second that we shipped SharePoint 2013, it would have taken some custom logic and some custom work to make those connections. But with what we shipped in Service Pack 1, what's coming in SharePoint 2016, are significant investments to make the connections, to make it actually a real deployment that's supported by Microsoft, easy for your IT department to click through a hybrid wizard, truly a click-through, and to start to light up and pull down some of these innovations in the cloud so that you can experience them from your on-premises environment. And finally, on the right-hand side is really just a clear usage of something that was a relatively significant portal investment in SharePoint Online that fully moved a lot of their user experiences to SharePoint Online, and that was with the company Acor. But when they started to move, they're still running a lot of what they're doing on-premises and still have a lot of investments on-premises that pull into that Acor Live environment, which is their intranet, which is now running in SharePoint Online. And to not have lost any capabilities in that intranet, and certainly to light up some new experiences as they start to leverage more and more workloads, which is what that company certainly is focused on. The next thing that I want to do, Mike, if you start moving through, is really just three or four slides that just talk about some of our main investments in SharePoint Server 2016. And there's a lot of great resources, a lot of new blog posts, and of course, a lot of new TechNet information. So I'll kind of just click through a few things here that talk through some of our infrastructure investments, what we're doing with compliance, and of course, some of the new experiences that are coming to on-premises, and then really bridge that for the rest of the session on some of the key workloads that light up once you have SharePoint 2016 in place or you're starting to move into that SP1 of SharePoint 2013, and what does that actually mean from a scenarios perspective. So if you move into the next slide, which is really the experiences, at a high level, think about SharePoint 2016 becoming more friendly to the smaller devices, being able to auto-detect that you're on a 4-inch device or something like an 11-inch device, and having these be more touch-based experiences on these smaller devices that usually don't have a keyboard or mouse. Certainly is not as pervasive as the entire product, but if you think about navigating OneDrive for Business, team sites, and custom portals, which is a significant part of how people leverage SharePoint, these are automated deliver pages that automatically render in the right way. And certainly, this could be if you were solely deployed in SharePoint on-premises. This technology has been available in SharePoint Online for a number of years, about almost 2 years now. And it is also where we're investing in every new experience, and I'll cover a couple of these. And if you were on the last webcast, things like Delve, Office 365 Video, Groups, and other experiences are already mobile responsive. So when you hit them on a web page, they will already go into a much more touch-friendly experience. And it even goes beyond the touch design pages that are in the server product. And it really is pervasive throughout a lot of the Office 365 experience. But certainly we support these experiences as you navigate between on-prem and online, and that's if you're in a hybrid implementation. You can expect that there will be a seamless experience between moving from team sites to team sites, or team sites to portal, or a team site to something like Delve or Office 365 Video. And we also really focus on this being a people-centric experience, so that if you're storing documents and you're starting to share them, or you're starting to move content that's maybe was started on premises and it's been migrated to online, the usage experience of working with a piece of content, let's say a PowerPoint that is now running in online, as you were used to maybe on a file share on premises, keeping that connected so that you can, of course, find the content from a search experience, work with it in the way that is the Office integration, collaborating now, maybe even opening up some new scenarios. But with SharePoint 2016, we really focus on connecting to the new Office Web Apps server, so you get the best experience of working with content in the browser, but also some of the new sharing mechanisms and some of the new search and discovery innovation that is now possible. Next slide, if you look at it from a compliance perspective, I covered some of this already. If you think about it, if you're only on premises, we have made a lot of new investments around how you can better control your content with data loss prevention. If that's just an on-premises deployment, you can certainly now more easily write your own policies. There's a lot of security investments that we had made in SharePoint Online. That now comes to SharePoint 2016 because a lot of that innovation from the cloud is now coming into the on-premises install. So you get a lot of that security that we've built in. A lot of this also is now being able to make a better connection across Exchange and SharePoint. And if you think about a unified experience to then do e-discovery or audit or mobile device management across your whole infrastructure on-premises, a lot of those new investments that we've made that apply to split deployment certainly apply at a greater level to even just an on-premises only deployment. The next slide, from an infrastructure perspective, is if you look at now all the innovation that we've done in SharePoint Online so that there's less downtime, so that it's easier to patch and manage in place without having to take any read-only moments. Also, certainly from a flexibility perspective, all of the what I'm going to talk about for the rest of the session is really now baked into SharePoint 2016 on-premises. And again, I'll note where we will also be backporting things into 2013 into a future release. But if you think about, we will support Delve and Video in 2016. We talked about at Ignite also being able to make a hybrid connection to Delve, even with SharePoint 2013 in the future with a future release. So we think this is where you'll see a lot of investments that we've made in the cloud to make SharePoint Online easier for Microsoft to manage, to take less downtime, to impact your SLA a lot less. That now accrues to what your IT teams can do solely on premises. This is just now easier to manage SharePoint, less downtime, more uptime, and greater flexibility for how you can deploy if and when you choose to. So if you look at now the next slide, just a summary of some of the benefits of moving into a hybrid scenario. And again, think back to that initial graphic with the orange Office 365 on top, SharePoint in blue on the bottom, and making that connection. We do now give you the greatest flexibility and control for both IT and developers. You can continue using your applications, your business solutions that you've built on-prem, and we know that there are some investments if you were to move those wholeheartedly to the cloud. With a hybrid deployment, you can keep those running on-premises and maintain the value of certainly not having to move those to the cloud, but to start to move other workloads to the cloud becomes very possible. When you look at just getting what I just mentioned around the infrastructure, when you have better performance, greater security, and a higher level of achievement to attain more of an on-demand service, so that if you move team sites and OneDrive for Business into the cloud, that's a lot less support calls for your IT department, because people will be able to create their own sites, they'll be managed in the cloud, we have auto storage allocation that can be applied, so you're managing a lot less from a storage perspective. And then OneDrive for Business, of course, typically you will get more storage per person in the cloud. We've made a lot of investments there and a lot of flexibility in terms of when they use it, it's there. When they're not using it, it's not something that's taken away from your pool, but it's more dynamic in nature. So if that's kind of the benefits and what you're getting when you're investing in SharePoint 2016, that could be a new use of SharePoint on-prem. It could be more commonly an upgrade from 2010 or 2013. Let's take a look at some of the workload considerations.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
Let's do the. We've got four questions that I see that have popped up. Is it okay if we go ahead and pop those up to you?
Yeah, I should have taken a pause.
You're good. You're good. I was just waiting until you get to the end of this one. So the first question we had is a question around where somebody still is running SharePoint 2010, and I'm pretty sure I know the answer. In fact, I know the answer to this, but I'm going to leave it to you. They said, is there any chance that SharePoint 2010 has any hybrid options with Office 365?
So in the 2010 timeframe, we actually had one of our customers, Black & Decker, who talked with us at the previous SharePoint conference before it became Ignite. And a lot of the work that they did was that they hybridized, if that's a good word, that was their word. And they enabled OneDrive for Business. Now, it was some work on their end, but a lot of it is just managing and federating identity, which today is actually a lot easier to do with Azure AD. So I'm not trying to cheat the answer. I don't have anything to announce that Microsoft is doing, except for around search, and I'll explain that in a second.
Yep.
But for making a lot of the connections that I've been talking about today, it would require some of that custom work, which, again, has been done, and it was without Microsoft involvement. And to be honest, when Black & Decker took the stage, they talked a lot about how they deployed it, the custom logic that they wrote. And we really were coming to that conference to talk about the investments in SP1. And of course, we worked with them to talk about how to move to SP1 when they're ready. And some of the work that they were able to then take away was they were able to manage less code over time as they moved to 2013 and then into SP1. So. In that foundation, one of the things that we'll certainly support is if you have a mixed environment, that could be even something all the way back to 2007.
Yep.
But I'll paint the picture. If you have SharePoint 2007, 2010, 2013, you're investing in 2016, and you have file shares, as long as your on-premises is connected from a search perspective to whatever it is that you want to crawl, when you start to make a hybrid search connection, which is something that will be first supported in 2016 with consideration to support in 2013 in the future, you're then having what is a hybrid search service running in Office 365, technically running in Azure, and we've got documentation from an infrastructure perspective. But once you have that, you then could certainly maintain a lot of investments in 2010 and connect from a search perspective, which gives you a ton of value But certainly there are would be some requirements for some 2016 investments if you wanted to do it sooner, or certainly upgrading some elements of 2013 in the future.
And I was going to say, that's one of the things we've been talking to some of our clients about, that if they have these investments that are not going to move over anytime soon, you know, bringing in that on-premise, at least from a search perspective, 2016, that then opens up a whole, you know, gateway of data that they can then have in that integrated fashion, you know, integrating that 2010, like you said, whatever the version, but using the 2016 sort of as a gateway to that hybrid scenario.
That's right. That's right. And to be honest, there's a number of different stages of doing a hybrid search. We see the best deployment being a two-way search infrastructure where you move the index to the cloud.
Yep.
And then if I'm in a cloud-based team site or OneDrive for Business and I do a search from there, of course it's going to go against that index. But you could first have it be only one way, where you're moving the index but only searching from on-premises, which may not make a lot of sense. But if you start to think through some of the main scenarios, when you've got more on-premises than online, and as you're starting to, you know, take advantage of moving content to the cloud and experiences, but maybe a lot of your search-driven experiences, like a search-driven portal or somebody just in a text box in a team site on-premises, being able to wire it up so that you can search and find content from everywhere, still from where people start, is phase one. Phase two is being able to do that same action from an online type experience.
The next question we had was around Power Apps. And is there going to be opportunity to leverage Power Apps with SharePoint?
Yeah, I don't have a definitive answer because Power Apps were still in early days. But if you think about it from a how Power Apps is being written, certainly they have a lot of investments they're making to go against SharePoint lists. And so that's a great first start. And the logic that they need to do to talk to SharePoint so that you can open up Power Apps, design a really nice mobile experience against a SharePoint list, that's possible today.
Yep.
How they will support on-premises and how they will support hybrid, I'm probably not as fluent and up to speed yet in terms of plans or if they're yet talking about that. But the start of where we are right now is certainly being able to talk to your SharePoint list. And I think I would hedge bets that the direction that we'd like to see Power Apps go is something that should be a nice, powerful tool for SharePoint, and full stop, not SharePoint Online or SharePoint On-Prem, but just for SharePoint. And the investments that the SharePoint team would make certainly is to make sure that we hold up our end of the bargain as the Power Apps team pushes forward.
The next one we had was, will there be Office 2016, will there be an Office 2016 web app server? And if so, will you be able to use that if you have SharePoint 2013 in your on-prem environment?
The only part I'd have to look up, and I can certainly shoot you this over as follow-up, but I can take the question just holistically. Already in the 2016 wave, there is a Office Web Apps server. I believe the Office Web Apps 2016 is what it's called. But it is a server component, very much a companion to SharePoint 2016 and Exchange 2016 for the common scenarios. I have a piece of content that I find in SharePoint or an email that I get, and when I go to click and view or on hover or embed in a team site, it would actually be pulling the intelligence to load the Office bits into the browser, which in online we call it Office Online, and on-premises we call it the Office Web App Server. So we've demoed that a number of times. It's out there. You can install it with the preview and try it today. And if you watch a demo that Bill Baer gave at the Stockholm European SharePoint Conference, that link to watch the whole session is online. He does a nice demo where he does a lot of stuff around hybrid search into Delve, but he kind of does, of course, a couple of proof points on just hovering on a document that happens to be on-premises. And because you can see the preview using the Office technology, that is the Office Web Apps server showing you that fresh preview.
Nice. And we had one last one. I don't want you to spend a whole lot of time on this because we can certainly post up links to documentation because this has been explored in depth in the past. But they asked, how are people doing search in a hybrid environment today without 2016 on-premise?
Yeah, so Microsoft has been deployed with hybrid search for a about a year and a half, I'd say, because we were pretty early adopters with the SharePoint team supporting our whole search infrastructure for Microsoft. And really, when we started to have hybrid capabilities in SP1, they did wire up hybrid search. Now, the definition at the time was a little bit different. Hybrid search in the 2013 SP1 wave was more of a federated query. And what I mean there is when I, as the end user, let's say I was in a team site in SharePoint Online, did a search from a search box, the result set that I got was still my enterprise search center, but it was a little bit of a split experience where I could see content from online and I could see content from on-premises. But the only thing that we didn't have was it wasn't a combined result set. And usually, if you know SharePoint search, the nice part about SharePoint enterprise search is that it combines and gives you the relevant view of the content. Relevant being, is it the most viewed, is it the most current, is it active content, and tuning that to content from across on-prem and online. With hybrid search, initially, you got results set back of content that should be of interest to you and what you're looking to find. Now with 2016 and that combined index, instead of a federated query, it's a federated index that runs in the cloud. When you do a search against that, you are doing a search against all content at the same time, and the enterprise search element is giving you that relevant result set. So it's a little bit of an evolution. Certainly, I think it's a big leap forward, but you could experience that. Now, when we start to backport the ability to have a hybrid search service running as a combined index against your SharePoint 2013 environment, then it'll be possible to do exactly what we're covering today, but not in that in the previous method, which was that federated query.
Awesome. Well, thank you, and I guess we're ready to move on. That's all the questions for right now.
Okay, so the next couple of slides, even though I've got a number of slides we'll click through, Mike, they're really more just to understand the scenarios that we're supporting. And there may be questions that arise off of these, but I won't go into too much depth because this is, if you go to that site that I mentioned, hybrid.office.com, there's a lot of depth that I'd love for people to be able to go review and maybe even ping us with questions on Twitter or through our Yammer network.
All right.
But next slide really is just a teaser of what's coming, workload considerations. And the first slide beyond that is really just to focus on not just what Microsoft is saying, but what IDC is saying in their North American CloudTrack survey. Now, 2012 might be a little outdated in terms of when this was posted, but I think it's still very relevant. It really is still sort of the pattern and mantra that we're working towards to support either the migration of a workload up into the cloud. But what we really support is the movement of the experience of the workloads between public and private cloud. And in this statement, just for clarity, when they say public and private cloud is Office 365, private cloud is on-premises, and certainly where SharePoint 2013, 2016 would run. And the other teaser here is when you think about SharePoint Online and SharePoint on-premises, if you were to update into the 2013-2016 timeframe, the platform of SharePoint becomes more and more the same between public and private cloud, meaning that SharePoint Online is already today SharePoint 2016 plus, because we do things a lot now more in the cloud first and bring that cloud technology in addition to SharePoint technology that's always been there and is improving down to on-premises. And that's a pattern we'll talk about more in terms of you know, when you're thinking about between cloud and online, on-premises, the similarities that they share and why either moving workloads or having workloads that are connected are much more seamless going forward. So the first workload, which we've been talking a lot about, which is the next slide, is search. And this is just kind of a top-down, if you think about on-premises search and what it does there, you can crawl through sites, file shares, and more. Next click, if you think about online, of course, we're starting to crawl a lot of that same content. Mike, if you'll move forward.
All right.
And you can kind of keep clicking through this as well. Here, you'll start to see, one back. That's all right. Sorry, I should have told you how many. You have to.
There we go.
Yeah. So this is really just holistically, certainly as you start to have content everywhere, the crawling mechanism, which is that value of what the search service does, of course, is crawling everything. And now that we start talking about a unified index running in the cloud, It really starts to drive the experience of what do you do? You could just go to the Enterprise Search Center or search from a text box and find more content no matter where it's at. And to the end user, hopefully they don't really think about where is the content living. But if you start to talk about solutions that are driven by search, and when I say that, I mean something like the content by search web part that's used a lot these days on portals to make them more of a dynamic experience, that of course will start to read against that unified index, giving you more life and breadth out of your content no matter where it lives, but driven through the search experience that you're developing. And think about it, you could even customize a light component on a team site and have content not have to be moved to where the team site is, but derived and pulled from wherever it exists, which really is keeping the content in place. The next scenario, next slide, OneDrive for Business. Again, something that you could do really with a lot of versions of SharePoint. We just make it a ton easier to click through and set up so that if you're on premises and you're starting to leverage SharePoint Online, which is, Office 365, which is where OneDrive for Business lives, a lot of it is just a redirect from your existing My Site, which is where OneDrive for Business is born from, to then direct you to the site that's running in the cloud, which is OneDrive for Business. This could also mean a move of your profile, which is another part of the My Site. But certainly being able to redirect and also have that content now live and breathe and be experienced from the cloud is something that really is this three-step process. Moving the content, redirecting where, when somebody clicks on the OneDrive tile, where it takes them, and then of course where their documents start to be stored and experienced from. That OneDrive for Business tile, if you're on premises only, is OneDrive for Business on premises. As you start to wire it up and leverage OneDrive for Business running in the cloud, that tile, that same tile then just redirects you once you've made the change, which again is a more simple IT administration configuration. Next slide, from a team sites perspective, there's a lot of areas here. Certainly team sites is more than just documents, but it also is where we can start to drive a more connected experience across people and different team sites, people leveraging different team sites, some maybe on-prem, some online. Of course, we've been talking a lot about documents from a search perspective, but when it starts to become more from a sharing scenario or a collaboration scenario, having these documents in a way that's either online or on-premises, for people to be able to access them, whether they're just accessing through the browser, like we were talking about with Office Online or Office Web Apps, or using the full rich client, having that be a connected experience for the people when they share that document out and another person then accesses it. Again, it shouldn't matter where that lives. And if it's in a team site, online, on-prem, access to your content and your sites is pretty straightforward. When you start to look at bringing in other scenarios, like bringing a Yammer discussion, Yammer, of course, is a service that is only running online. But to be able to connect that to either an on-prem or an online team site or portal, very possible and much easier since Service Pack 1 with SharePoint 2013. I already mentioned a lot about extranet and compliance, but certainly they relate to team sites and how you can have an extranet-based team site or an extranet-based portal. And from a compliance perspective, once you're set up in a hybrid connection, compliance should be something that then is harder to manage, but it just gets easier.
So Mark.
So next, yeah.
So that brings up, with the Yammer piece here, we had a question posted, and they asked, they said, if someone was going live with SharePoint Online this year, would you recommend they turn off SharePoint Social and just use Yammer or hybrid until more Yammer integration is there? If you go with Yammer, do you still need the Delve profile for Delve?
Yeah, it's got a couple different parts, and I'll try to be pretty clear. In SharePoint Online today, again, if going off the question, you're just going to SharePoint Online today, and you haven't yet invested in either SharePoint Newsfeed or Yammer, by default, Yammer will be your best play forward. And to be transparent, I believe soon it will be the default experience. And we've been pretty transparent about that for the last 2 years, talking about where we're taking Yammer and, of course, what we're doing with SharePoint Social, meaning the Newsfeed and some of the other social aspects. In 2016, we've been pretty clear that we have not made newsfeed investments, and that doesn't mean that it's not there. It is still there. And if you're on premises only and Yammer is not something that you want to consume, you will still have a social experience in SharePoint on-prem. But in online, we start to default to a more Yammer experience. And I mean that beyond SharePoint. When you look at Delve, when you look at Office 365 Video, some of their methods for being social, aka starting a conversation. Of course, we support email where you can send a link. But we also then have a post to Yammer motion. And so Yammer being the default social service, and I would say going forward, one of the social components of the social fabric of Office 365, we think that Yammer is a good investment, especially when you start to think about bringing Yammer discussions and embedding in Teams or embedding in a portal. It's something that I actually showed in the last webinar where you have the Yammer discussion.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit, Mark. There we go.
The answer is certainly Yammer is our way forward, and even some of the investments beyond Yammer in Office 365, you'll start to see a growth of the social fabric that includes Yammer and Delve and the Office Graph and some of the work that the Exchange team is doing. The first of which is just thinking about reading an email and clicking the like button to show sentiment. That is broader than Yammer, but inclusive of it if you think of Office 365. So I think the quick answer is Yammer, obviously not so much the news feed in SharePoint Online, but for on-premises customers who are not moving anything to the cloud, the social investments that we made in 2013 are still available in 2016.
And certainly, you know, Mark, one of the things we've seen, I actually had I'm glad that this question came up. We had a client come in last week, and they were reading some, you know, everybody and his uncle today has a tech blog, or, you know, tech news, and they were reading people saying, you know, Yammer's going away, Microsoft's dumping Yammer. And I had a client come in who actually said they've been told that Yammer is no longer Microsoft's direction and to avoid that and this and that. And to which I had to, you know, say, you know, look, where did you hear that? And it turned out it was from some, you know, third party, I'll just say, writer. And the fact is, Yammer is a key investment in it, and we're only integrating it more, not tossing it by the wayside.
Yeah, certainly, I don't think you and I are here to promote rumors.
Correct.
And really, if you look at the reality and the technology, the investments are there today in on-prem, be able to connect, bring Yammer basically into a SharePoint experience. And I think there's a lot of sharing if you think about how we're integrating the Yammer team and their experiences and, of course, their technical knowledge. I think that is what you see that is A, today, powering the social experience, but also B, enabling us to think more broadly about how Office 365 will become more social. And I don't want to say that that's just leveraging Yammer, but it certainly includes Yammer and a lot of the investments that the other teams are making to give us a more social fabric that embeds throughout all of Office 365 and, of course, carries through to on-premises from a hybrid perspective. Is what we're talking about. And to be honest, it's the next slide, not necessarily answering the question, but just talking about from a social enablement. A lot of it certainly is just connecting to Yammer and pulling Yammer into the SharePoint experience. But certainly as you start to do things like following team sites, leveraging the Office Graph and enabling a much more relevant search experience across team sites and portals, you know, mixing that information that we get from Yammer, that we get from the Office Graph, even some of the sentiment that we get from Exchange and the likes and the at mentions type scenarios, type actions, and that really starts to power that social fabric. But one of the things that we explicitly did with SharePoint 2013 SP1 and certainly carries through in 2016 is to be able to wire up and connect to Yammer so that the experience is much more seamless. One of the old timer things that have been around for a long time that we include on the next slide, and this is really something that I won't go into much depth here, but it's kind of the foundational element of, boy, if you've got on-premises services that are not Microsoft driven, so think about a on-premises CRM type system for customer resource management, or something as extreme as a Salesforce running in the cloud but is wanting to be pushing information into a SharePoint site or portal. We have had a service called BCS, Business Connectivity Services, that you can build, and you kind of own building the connector talking component to talk to the service that you want to talk to, really at the endpoint, but to then be able to consume content within a SharePoint experience of information coming from a third party. We've supported this in online for a number of years, and of course on premises really for even longer. But if you think about this as an extension to not only combine search, to combine OneDrive, Yammer, Delve, but to then pull through from a service perspective, true business logic or business data coming from a third party service, there's a lot of different patterns and practices that we've supported through BCS for a while. And the final one, which is sometimes in different ways of presenting this content, is really the basis of what I think makes it successful. If you do anything first with a hybrid connection, it is getting your identity plan right. And this usually, with a lot of the different customers that we talk to, starts with on-premises Active Directory. Now, of course, in online, we support through Azure Active Directory. And there's a couple of different Azure Active Directories depending on how you leverage it. This could be the Azure AD that comes for free with Office 365. And if you're Office 365 only, that is your identity service. If you're connecting to on-premises, you can leverage that same instance of Azure AD down through to your on-premises AD environment through Active Directory Federation. And you're then really just saying, look, all of my people are now in the cloud, at least all of their username information. But ultimately, when they need password tokens, ultimately routes the end user through to the on-premises Active Directory. Once you have this, no matter what service you go through, whether it's an on-prem team site or HR portal, or you're going to the company intranet that's now running in online, when the person hits the page and they're routed through to say, who are they? And can we give them credentials that have been approved by me, by us, the customer? Again, it'll route to as far back as you have it. If your AD is running on premises, we will certainly get the token from there and only let them in if they're approved through that system. But if you look at this diagram, and we have a ton of documentation here, it starts with having a healthy authentication environment and then making the connections that are required so that your end users can come into whatever site. And this could also then, of course, play into the app. And the final thing I like to paint here is the scenario of connecting through hybrid search, having that content bubble up through Delve, which is the end user experience that's running in Office 365, all the way through to their mobile phone. And we have the Delve app running for Android, iOS, and Windows Phone soon with Windows 10 app that they are talking about. But now as an end user, imagine I'm at a coffee shop way outside my firewall, and of course not necessarily as directly connected to the cloud, but certainly available to the cloud. And on my mobile phone, because I've got a hybrid identity and hybrid search connected, now my Delve activity feed will show me a mix of content and people from across on-prem and online. And with all of that running properly, which again falls back to what we support and make it a lot easier for you, now opens up for me to be able to discover content and people on the go in a much greater way than I've ever been able to. But some of the foundational element really starts with doing and setting up the identity right so that you can be enabled to take advantage of a lot of these different scenarios. And in doing that, I would say in the area of documentation and help, this is where we've made some of the biggest investments over the last couple of years with some new refreshment content coming with 2016. So one last slide, right. And I know that we're a little bit over, and I'll turn to questions because this slide is, I think, self-explanatory. But it was really just a recap of getting started with hybrid. A lot of it starts with where we just tailed off with the authentication mechanism. But moving into OneDrive, starting to move maybe team sites and portals, thinking about search as a foundational element, first on-prem, but then certainly starting to think of that as a service in online and truly moving into hybrid search. This is an area where we hope that a lot of people start to look at deeper sessions on hybrid search, content that we have out there, and asking questions to people in our local regions, both technology solution professionals, MCS, which is our consulting engagement arm, and of course partners who are very fluent in all of this. Moving into hybrid is fully supported by Microsoft. We have great partners that support it from a technical perspective and can answer a lot of questions that you have as you move on your journey. And hopefully today is just whetting your appetite to think in terms of, gosh, I do have a need or a want to start trying this thing about the cloud and moving some of the SharePoint elements and maybe even getting some of the new innovation sooner rather than what you get with on-premises. There's a lot of new innovation coming in 2016, and we think you'll see the pattern of bringing from the cloud down to on-premises is a way forward for both Microsoft offering the best deployment choices to their customers and certainly through partners and Microsoft itself. And we hope you see that it opens up a lot of new doors for a lot of new scenarios that you can take advantage of.
Awesome. So Q&A. So David, you want to come back here, and Mark, if you want to start your video again,
yeah,
we'll put you on the big piece up here.
Sure.
And David, are we back? Okay, he says we're back. So the first question we have comes to us from Dean, and Dean is asking, he said, can this content search web part be configured to limit results from a specific source, i.e. online or on-premise?
That's a great question. You know, the intelligence in the result set that we get, so today when we support the hybrid query that I mentioned in 2013, there were separate tabs basically that says this content is from on-premises, this content is from online, so you would see it all, but it was very delineated.
Yep.
So my sort of today answer, and I'd love to follow up a little bit more directly once I ask a person that's a little smarter than me when it comes to the final, but we do know and have awareness of where the content is coming from in the basically the URL path, and that we can leverage that from a UI perspective to say, here's your on-prem content, here's your online content. So that I believe within a content by search web part, which is highly scopable, to be able to say, I want to see, you know, only content that's, you know, a month old. Yeah. I want to see content that is only of this subject or maybe even this content type. I think adding the element of being able to show the source and maybe even add a filtering mechanism, show me content from only online, only on premises, I do believe would be possible. We have that information. And I do believe that the extensibility of the content by search web part gives you that flexibility to manage and control, you know, before you light it up, to be able to tune it that way. But if we want to follow up with that one a little bit more directly beyond my thought that it is possible, we can get a little bit more definitive more directly.
All right. The next we had was actually a comment. This comes to us from Hal, and Hal said that he was glad to hear that Yammer is going strong, and he had seen negative articles. And I guess, yeah, it just comes back to that we're not here to, you know, there's a lot of rumors that people throw out all the time, but, you know, we're just here to kind of talk about what we're doing today and you know, where things are seem to be going. So he was thankful for that.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at what the SharePoint team is doing, the SharePoint and the Yammer team work often, and
yep,
there's a lot of Yammer activity on the public roadmap in terms of deeper investments that they're making so that the service runs better, looks better, and has deeper integration points with the different
yep
services. But to be clear, it is not a Yammer is our only social avenue.
Right.
It really is an element of our social fabric that is greater than Yammer, greater than SharePoint.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll start to see, if you just look at the Office Graph is actually developed by the SharePoint team,
yep,
but is really being managed in a way that's more pervasive across more than just SharePoint. So it actually consumes Yammer, it consumes SharePoint, it consumes Exchange, and then can be applied in a rich way across the different services. And if you look at that element alone, it should just say, look, Microsoft is investing in social in a lot of different ways. The acquisition of Yammer was a big step forward, but certainly the way that you see the Exchange team, the Office Graph, and the Delve team investing, and certainly the Yammer team continuing to invest,
yep,
there's a greater social fabric that is across Microsoft, and it really should be viewed as Microsoft is investing in social. And that could be down to the end user with something simple as liking an email,
yep,
or posting over to a Yammer group, or just getting information that's coming off of all of these sources to show you what's relevant as far as like activity feeds in Dell.
So we have another question here. Actually, I got two more that just popped up. And by the way, Dean said thank you around the content search web part. That made sense. But the next question is, any thoughts on deploying SharePoint 2016 on Azure IaaS and setting up hybrid from there with Office 365? Are there any advantages, challenges, or things they should consider?
So there probably are some things to consider.
Yep.
This is where it gets a little bit out of my realm of not being an architect. And it's probably something that would be a great discussion to start on the Yammer network with my peer, Bill Baer. But certainly if you think about moving SharePoint 2016 into Azure, that is already a supported scenario even in preview, where the Azure team has an instance of SharePoint 2016, which is now in release candidate. But you could spin up a VM with SharePoint 2016, and it would run great in Azure. And you can scale up and down to whatever it is that you want to build out and deploy into that environment. But if you think about, or I should say, and when you think about SharePoint 2016 running in Azure, mm-hmm. it is more common to be like SharePoint on-premises than it is SharePoint online. And yeah. to make a hybrid connection from a SharePoint VM is something completely supported. You still are just starting from a SharePoint environment that's not Office 365 and making connections to Office 365. And again, if you're federating identity, you're starting to federate search, if you're combining some of the workloads to then light up from let's say you have a team site or a portal running in Azure, it would be the same pattern as if you're going through from on-premises. I think one of the deltas would be you're probably going through fewer steps or motions of going from inside your firewall outside your firewall. You would mm-hmm. actually be going data center to data center, or maybe even within the same data center. Of course, it would be a Microsoft data center. But to push it a little bit even further, let's say you've got a SharePoint 2016 VM running in Rackspace. That would be same pattern, same approach. You are managing that instance of SharePoint in their environment, which would be running as a virtual machine, gives you the access to the full stack of SharePoint 2016. Just happens to be that you're not managing the actual bare metal. Right. Or the bare software layer, but you still have access to manage and make the connections to SharePoint, same as you would on premises. It would be the same patterns because you're really talking about just SharePoint 2016. It just happens to be running elsewhere.
Awesome. So we have, I'm going to lump these two together because they're both from Christy. So Christy, thank you for posting. Christy asked two questions. First one is, can you explain cloud SSA, and then are there any requirements to keep on-prem updates to a certain CU in hybrid model?
That one probably goes a little bit out of my range.
Okay.
Where the deployment requirements, certainly, you know, being as up-to-date as you can be depending on what version
yeah.
you're on. Today, SharePoint 2013, we're at SP1 with a lot of CUs that have been available since SP1. So being as most up-to-date, the requirement, though, for hybrid would be Service Pack 1 okay. from majority of what we've been talking about today. When SharePoint 2016 releases, it does not require you to upgrade every single farm if you've got a multi-farm deployment. But certainly, as you start to add in 2016, that element, it will give you access to make that connection to the hybrid search service, which is already running in Office 365. And the making the connection to it is a little bit more wizard driven in 2016, and some of what we will be releasing in the future to make it easier for previous versions isn't yet out, and we don't have a specific time frame for it. But hopefully that is kind of the low level easy answer. The basic requirement is SharePoint 2013 SP1.
SP1, yeah.
And of course, beyond anything hybrid, the best practice certainly is to be as up to date as possible on all the CUs and going forward. That won't change. That same pattern of being as up to date as possible on premises with the right testing and plan in place. And we do our best to maintain and move forward. And I think you'll see huge investments and advancements in 2016. And certainly we'll have a lot more to talk about going forward that I think makes it even a better investment going forward.
Excellent. And then they had Cloud SSA.
Yeah, Cloud SSA, I to be honest, it's one of those, I think it's the search service application. It is shipping for the first time with SharePoint 2016. And there are two components. There's the one that is the connector piece from the on-prem install. And then there's the search service, which is running in Office 365. And as you step through the wizard to make the connection of, I've got content on-prem, I've got content online, and then basically making the connection of the search appliance that's part of SharePoint 2016 and the search service, which is running in online, both are required to make the connection to then have a hybrid search environment. Once it's been connected, then you have hybrid search. But the component that is going to be then supported in production is what comes with SharePoint 2016. Already it's in production for early testing through the beta time period in Office 365.
Awesome. And that's the last question I see. I do know you mentioned there was a website we should be sending people to.
Yeah, if you can type it on the up on the screen.
Yeah, why don't we go back to my screen, David?
Yeah, if you type in hybrid.office.com.
Hybrid.office.com.
Yep. And hopefully this
is
right.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, so this is a pretty new website that we put up since we started shipping SharePoint 2016. It's got a nice video if you want to kind of get a sense of some of the visual scenarios that we're supporting. It kind of self-runs in the background, but you can also watch it as a standalone video. But really down below is where a lot of the value is. You know, there's a lot of investments we're making to help people get to the cloud, and that's with that fast track. Mm-hmm. Setting up OneDrive for Business, moving and migrating content from team sites is something that Microsoft actually will invest in. As you start to invest in Office 365, Fast Track is something you should look at and review to see how has Microsoft helped me get there. Beyond that, certainly beyond Fast Track, which is a pretty broad program for all of Office 365, there's a lot of new tools, samples, training, documentation that come, and it's not all there just yet. This is a relatively new site. A lot of what's there already is beta information. They just refreshed it for the release candidate, so it's just updated with the newest bits. But as you start to get into something where you see the SharePoint documentation, because this is beyond SharePoint as well, there's a lot of new content information for IT to digest. I believe there's a lot of new information coming for developers. And then, you know, just to be a one-stop shop for everything hybrid, again, beyond SharePoint. This includes Hybrid Exchange. This will include hybrid from a Yammer perspective. But if you pause here for a second, where you see Cloud Search Service Application kind of in the middle under SharePoint on that last screen.
On this one here?
Yeah, if you look in the right in the middle there under Team Sites, down below, down, boom, right there. Cloud Search Service Application, up three.
Ah, there we go.
Yep, so this probably is a better answer than what I just gave for the question that came up. That really just will dive into it, and it'll point you to a lot of great content about how to configure it, what does it require, there's information. Again, if it feels a little thin in places, it's a lot of placeholders for what's coming when we get to general availability of SharePoint 2016.
Yep.
But it is our way to communicate across everything that has hybrid potential. And of course, with the investments that we've made in 2016 and plans that we have going forward, this will be a rich environment for IT and developers as well to come and learn about what's possible. And when they get to the point where they're starting to pull some of the hybrid triggers, where they will be able to get some practical information from how to. And you'll see this when we go to different conferences. And if you're in LA starting tomorrow, or sorry, I think on Wednesday, we have a SharePoint hybrid session that Bill Baer will be running.
Wow.
That is a full 75 minutes on hybrid, covering a lot of what I've been talking about here, but he gets a little bit deeper into the 300 level. And you can expect that to be available already online from you can view that content, but also just the level of documentation and support that we provide is greater than it's ever been.
Very nice. And I love seeing that, you know, both we have the documentation, kind of the overviews, and then even for those with our Microsoft Virtual Academy, we've got all kinds of training here that allow you to get hands-on, and they're going to be adding to that as well. So.
Yep. And if you look it down on that page, just as one example, there's a really great session where it says identity and access management. If you stop moving for a second, it's right in the middle. Up two.
Ah, there we go.
Yeah,
right here.
That's a great session that really details everything you need to think about from federating Active Directory with Office 365, which is inclusive of Azure AD. And if you do that just alone, without thinking about the workload of Exchange or SharePoint or Link or Skype, really this is the backbone of if you get identity management and federating it properly, which we think we've done a really nice job over the last year or two to make it easier and more successful, you really set yourself up for a great success for when you start to then pull things from the cloud or push things up to the cloud and have that be a good end user experience. That's a great session, and you'll see us you know, repeat that a lot at the different events because it's a pretty important piece. And if done right, which we think, again, is much easier to do than in the past, then you then can start to add some of these workloads in a much more seamless way.
And we had one last question, and then I'm going to cut off. This one came up. But also we got a thank you from Christy for the references. But this one is on, again, on the hybrid search. And it says, does SP26 Cloud Hybrid Search Preview work only with Office Web Apps 2016 and not with Office Web Apps 2013?
My feeling is if you've got the Office Web Apps 2016 as part of your test environment for testing SharePoint 2016, it'll certainly be your best experience for viewing content, let's say in the search results, that on-prem content that's coming through. But again, this might be one where I'd have to lean on engineering just to say, if in the test environment of looking at SharePoint 2016, SharePoint Online, and you're running the Office Web Apps 2013, would that Office Web Apps server still power previews for content through the SharePoint 2016 search results or the online search results page? My feeling is yes, because really it's just a query from the search page to the content itself with whatever it has in line, and the 2013 web apps are pretty capable of showing previews of Office documents from wherever they live. So I think the answer would be yes, but I would lead that to get your final answer for us to connect with somebody from the engineering team, which we can very easily do on the Yammer external network, which would be a great place to start that in the SharePoint group in that Yammer external network. Or we can take it offline and I can connect with the right people.
So real quickly, just so people know, then there is, if you have not joined, I'll put a link to that. There is the external Yammer network for Office 365 that Mark's referring to. We started to get some additional questions, but I think what I'm going to do is we'll cut those off because I want to be respectful of your time, Mark. But also, I think it's obvious we have lots of questions around this, and maybe what we'll do, you referred to Bill Baer. I think I'll be out in Redmond next week, and I know he's going to be at Tech Ready, so I'm going to try to track him down. I'll hunt him down and see if we can schedule him for a follow-up.
Yeah, you know, it might be something pretty easy to just spin up a couple of these questions yourself on behalf of the person who's asking.
Yep.
And certainly encourage them to go to the Yammer network, but for the benefit of hopefully the broader community, and just CC Bill or CC me. I'll certainly not be absent, and then we can tackle those questions that remain. And if any conversation leads from there, that's really the whole point.
Awesome. Well, Mark, I just want to thank you for your time. This was great. I know. Lots of interaction, lots of questions, certainly an area of a lot of interest and a lot of excitement. So I'll do exactly what you just said. I'm going to take the outstanding questions here, the remaining ones. I'll post those up, copy you guys, and certainly in the archive we'll include, when we archive this video, a link to that so those who are not members yet can go ahead and get themselves to be a part of the conversation.
That's great. Yeah, we've got a really nice active SharePoint group in the external Yammer network, and linking to that group, it would be great. And not only Bill and I are active there, actually the engineering team is also leaning in. So if we get a question that we want to pull somebody from the engineering team in, it's a great environment to be able to do that and directly connect with them.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Mark. Have a great week. I'm glad you didn't get snowed in.
Yeah, we're looking at actually sun here in the Northwest. I think it might not hold out for a little bit. But like I said, I'm sneaking down to LA later today, so I believe when I saw the weather forecast there, it is about as opposite of what you guys are seeing right now, 70 and sunny. So,
you're killing me.
Sorry.
Well, bottle some of that up so I can get some next week when I head out west.
I will. I'll bring some back to Tech Ready 22 for you.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Mark, and you have a great day.
You bet. Thanks, Mike, and thanks, everybody, for joining in and asking your questions and listening today. SharePoint Hybrid is a real thing that we're investing in and something that we support. And we hope that you found today of interest and just ping us with more questions and start doing more with SharePoint across on-prem and online.
Awesome. Thank you. And everybody have a great day. And David, why don't you go ahead and stop the broadcast and stop the recording. Have a great day, everyone. Thanks, Mark.
You bet. See you, Mike. Have a good day.
You did great. No, this was awesome.